Put the action into transaction. Don't just be next level. Be on a whole other level. Do business with Vox. Get Vox Fiber to your business, starting from 2,499 Rand per month. Level up your experience with uncapped calling, hardware rental, IT solutions, and over 160 other products to enhance your business. Work smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast. I'm joined today by Jan Nisdu, the recently appointed CEO of the country's biggest data center operator, Teraco. Jan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Duncan. Thanks for having me.
Firstly, for those who aren't aware of the rapid rise of Teraco, and I was absolutely blown away driving in here this morning to see just how expansive this campus has become. Maybe just take us through the origins of this company, how it got started, and the incredible growth you've been through. It was founded about 12 years ago now, right?
Yeah, the company started 12 years ago. Actually, a proof of concept data center in Cape Town.
Yeah.
A shared facility for a couple of ISPs, and basically, I think it hit the market at the right time, because at the same point in time you had the liberalization of the telco sector, all these licenses were granted. And yeah, we've just gone from strength to strength. I think we're hitting different phases. So we hit the telco phase, where we became really like a telehouse kind mm-hmm. of effect, where we had all the telcos come, and today we've got some 250 telcos that co-locate
wow.
here. And then all the content players started coming, and now we're reaching into enterprises,
cloud
banks,
guys,
financial services, and obviously the cloud guys that are coming as well. So it's a great intersection point, and obviously we continue to roll out space to meet
yeah.
their demands.
And you came to market with a different model to what had been tried in this market before. You're a vendor neutral data center. What does that mean exactly?
So we have a lot of competitors. Like everyone says to us, you know, do you have the market yourself, or do you have competitors? We have a lot of competitors. So all the telcos are competitors. Mm-hmm. MTN, IS, Vodacom, Liquid, they all have data centers, but the data centers are part of their core business, so they're carriers as well, whereas we don't have any other ancillary services. Our only services really is provision of data centers, mm-hmm. and that allows complete freedom of choice. So we call it Platform Teraco. A customer can come to our facilities and is able to pick and choose whoever they wish to connect with, be it on carrier or connectivity services or cloud services. We're an open access platform and interconnect to whoever you want at a really low cost and just make it super efficient.
Mm. So if someone wants to host you, they just call you up and you negotiate and they come in and put their equipment down?
So they'll put their equipment down, and then who they decide to interconnect with is entirely up to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll pick and choose amongst the various carrier community or the cloud community or the service provider community. And we actually don't play a role in that. It's done between themselves.
Yeah. I think your predecessor, Lex van Wyk, kind of alluded to the fact that this is, in some ways, a property management company rather than an IT company, because you're leasing space.
Yeah, I mean, we...
Much more complex than that, obviously, but...
It is a little bit like that. We don't like to see ourselves as kind of landlords, because we provide an SLA.
Sure.
So key to our service provision, especially today with what's happening with Eskom, is SLA around power,
mm-hmm.
And then key parameters like cooling and temperature,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that, and security, making
yeah.
sure those are within SLA.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to talk about power and Eskom a little bit later in the podcast, but this facility is huge now. You've got a new building on the eastern side of this campus. The building we're sitting now on the western side is fairly new too. I think it was just finished construction when I came here last, probably 18 months ago. What's happening on the eastern side, that new building? Who's going in there?
So maybe just to add the bits and pieces together. So on where we are sitting at the moment is Joburg East and Joburg West.
Okay.
So those are two buildings that probably are 5 years apart from one another and combines about 20 megawatts of power
right.
and about 7,000 square meters of white space. We're busy building our expansion, which we've called the campus expansion, or Joburg 3.
Okay.
What you're seeing now is phase one, so it's going to be over two phases.
Good grief.
It's a lot of money. So ultimately when we finish the entire campus. It'll be an investment over 2 billion rand.
2 billion.
Phase one is 9 megawatts IT or 18 megawatts load from council, 4,000 square meters of white space, so four big halls. And then phase two is basically double that. And phase one goes live in June, and we're in the process of doing phase two as well. So that'll be completed by the time we get to December. Yeah. And the structure, when you combine it with what we have on Joburg East and Joburg West, as a combined structure, it'll be some 80 megawatts of power.
80.
Yeah, and close on 40 megawatts of IT load, with some 20,000 square meters of white space.
Good grief.
It's a massive facility.
Yeah. I presume you chose this location originally because of the, for one of the reasons anyway, for the supply of electricity in this area, I presume.
Yeah, I mean, Ekurhuleni's been great to Teraco, and the area that we've chosen has been great. It used to be, you know, high industrial area with a lot of heavy engineering. Right. A lot of that has moved away. So there has been surplus power, which we have soaked up over time. And in the process of this expansion, we pretty much have taken now all the power. So we'll have our remaining expansion, and then I guess we need to think out the box a bit as to where we're going to get additional power from.
Okay. Does it? I mean, is there the possibility of building further infrastructure here? Would you have to look elsewhere?
We have one more site. Mm-hmm. So we have acquired a site adjacent to where the campus is. So we have one more planned round of expansion. And then we'll have to look elsewhere.
Have to look somewhere else.
But we have our facilities in Bredell as well. So we have
Of course, I forgot about those. Yes.
We have a 24 megawatt site in Bredell. Mm-hmm. And we're actually looking to build another site quite close to there.
Good grief. How long does this expansion continue for? I mean, what are you seeing looking 3-5 years in the future?
Yeah, I mean, we're at this amazing intersection of cloud and people wanting to outsource. And if you look at all the trends worldwide, the question is, are you at the beginning of that process, or are you in the middle or towards the end? And we like to think we're in the middle. Mm-hmm. Just where all the trends are going towards outsourcing, people moving their applications into the cloud, be it Microsoft or Amazon or any of the other clouds, public cloud infrastructure players.
Yeah.
So, we think we're kind of at the start of it. I mean, also if you look, I mean, there are those Cisco stats, right, that says all the data that's ever been created basically doubles every year, and it's true. I mean, look at, you've got wearables that's generating data. Your car's now generating a heap load of data. Kitchen appliances, all of that is
so
just...
We might just be at the start of it, actually. Especially with the Internet of Things coming on stream. Let's talk a bit about electricity, because you are an energy-intensive business. You need a reliable supply of electricity. Load shedding is here, and it's going to be with us for at least the next 18 months, according to Eskom, probably longer. How are you dealing with load shedding? Firstly, is this facility affected by load shedding, or have you got a special arrangement where you...
All our facilities are impacted kind of in some shape or form.
Okay.
I think maybe just to... First, maybe just to step back, because there's a bit of a positive and a negative, and you're going to say, well, what positives can you see kind of today? But I think if you have a look at South Africa, you know, we've got huge potential here with regards to becoming a base for all these big public cloud infrastructure players. You know, they currently have all their deployments in Europe and in the process of moving them to South Africa, and that's because of latency and to get close to the user. And if we can get our power story right, it's an incredible story. I mean, we're able to build the most amazing buildings. Look at all the skyscrapers in Sandton. Look at our road infrastructure. Look at our data center infrastructure. It's all world class. There's huge potential. Also, if we compare ourselves to the rest of Africa, so our unavailability, if I look at December and January with regards to like load shedding, mm-hmm. we were on average unavailable about 3%. So even though we have load shedding, just to put it in context, it's 3% unavailability. Now,
From Eskom.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the UK, for instance, they've got 99.99% uptime. Mm-hmm. So compared to them, you know, it is relatively poor. But if you compare it to the rest of Africa, so if you take, for instance, compare it to Nigeria, they only have 80% grid availability. And if you compare it to Kenya, they have around about 90% grid availability. And we know some of the data center players in Nigeria, they just run on generators all the time. Mm-hmm. So compared to the rest of Africa, and maybe that's not the right benchmark, but I'm just saying, compared to the rest of Africa, 4% is obviously not great, and Eskom needs to get its story right. But compared to the rest of Africa, it is far better. And I think government is going to get it right. So I think, obviously, how can we, you know, improve our unemployment rate? How can we carry on growing our GDP when you've got this environment where you don't have power? I mean, power is the bedrock of any modern society. So I'm pretty sure government's going to focus its attention on getting it right. It has to. It's got to come right. And there's huge opportunity. I think they're going about the right way. So splitting up the generation versus the transmission, I think, is the right way to go. And if kind of reading between the lines, I think that is what's going to happen.
Okay.
And then you're going to have the possibility of independent power producers putting power into the grid. And I think if they liberalize that part of production, I think it bodes well for us, largely because you're going to then have new power producers that can use the latest technology to produce electricity, and they're not hamstrung by old technology. Yeah. So hopefully that's the way government goes.
So the 3% of the three or 4% of the time that you're not getting a supply from Eskom, how are you keeping the data centers up and running? Is it primarily a diesel generator backup?
It goes back to our design. So our data centers are actually designed to be completely self-reliant. So they're designed on the basis that we produce our own electricity through generators. Mm-hmm. So we have power plants, and those are designed to run on the basis if something goes wrong with one power plant, we have another power plant that can basically back it up.
Right.
We happen to run on Eskom because Eskom's cheaper to run than diesel. But the bedrock of the way the facility's been designed and the way our electrical infrastructure's been designed is on the basis that we're basically completely self-reliant. Obviously, we don't want to do that. We don't want to land up burning a whole lot of diesel. It causes pollution and it's inefficient. So we'd prefer to run on electricity.
Yeah. Well, the Energy Minister, Gwede Mantashe, made some interesting remarks, I think, at the African Mining Conference in Cape Town last week or the week before last, where he said companies can, I think he was specifically referring to mining companies, but he said companies can generate electricity without a license for their own purposes. And we know some of the mines are looking at solar power as an option, certainly for daytime operations. What were your thoughts of Gwede Mantashe's remarks at that conference, and are you investigating possibly putting in some of your own power generation equipment, maybe solar, other renewable type of resources?
So I'm hoping that they can actually expand it beyond that. So beyond just self-production, actually allow other producers who do it as a core business.
Yeah.
Produce electricity at low cost and be able to put it into the grid. Because then also, I mean, the increases that Eskom intends on putting through are kind of unsustainable.
Yeah.
If, you know, we've been reading the press, it's like 15% for the next 3 years every year. That's just not going to be good for the economy. So hopefully allow other producers, not just for self-production, but allow companies that want to produce electricity as a business to do it. That's the model around the world. And hopefully the same can happen here. With regards to things like solar, we have done our own solar plants where we can, but obviously it's limited to the space that we have on our facilities. So it's not enough to really run, this site's 80 megawatts. It's just not possible to put that kind of solar panels on our buildings.
Yeah.
So to the extent that we can, we'll maximize our solar production, but it's not close enough to run our sites.
Yeah, it's a very built-up area. So I suppose if you had a large farm next year, it would have perhaps been feasible. Are you looking at potentially some of your other facilities? I know you've got more space maybe out in Bredell.
So Bredell I have. We've done a big solar installation. Just the roof is quite massive, so it allows us to produce enough electricity basically to run a lot of the facilities outside of the halls themselves.
Okay.
You know, there it's a bit different because it's extremely power hungry. So we're going to do that across all our sites. But we're going to, watch governments and hopefully they do promulgate some changes, because then it'll be quite interesting. You'll have, and hopefully then everything starts to equalize. So these new power producers put electricity into the grid. Eskom does transmission, and then we don't have these huge increases, and the kind of prices can stay. And then I think that bodes well.
Yeah. In terms of your clients, are you getting any sort of pressure from from any of them regarding carbon emissions. I know Microsoft has said that they're going to be carbon, I think it's carbon neutral by 2030 or 2040, I forget the exact detail, in terms of their data center facilities, and they're looking to power all of their data centers through renewable energy sources. Is there any pressure on Teraco to do something similar?
So I wouldn't say there's pressure as such. I mean, all these big companies are fairly aware of what the electrical situation in South Africa is, and that you can only really buy from Eskom. So it's not possible to now go and buy, you know, X green energy from this producer and that producer. So I think until such time as the sector actually opens up, maybe like they opened up the telco sector, do the same thing, and then you've got freedom of choice, and then you can buy, you know, green energy or dirty energy, and then I think the pressure will come, and we'll have to act accordingly.
Yeah. Now, we've seen we're talking about the cloud, the rise of of cloud computing, and obviously we've seen Microsoft come into the country with its Azure data centers. We know Amazon has said that they're looking to build a facility, I think it's in Cape Town, which should go live later this year. What do you think of those developments, these big cloud infrastructure providers coming in, and what impact will they have on Teraco and on the ICT industry more broadly?
Look, maybe just to first talk about Teraco. So it's a fantastic opportunity for Teraco. So, you know, Amazon has announced that they're building their own data centers. We still provide a lot of services to Amazon. So Amazon has nodes to get onto their cloud. It's called Amazon Direct Connect.
Yes.
And those reside within our facilities. I guess the reason why they chose Teraco is because we've got this huge community of telco carriers. So we've got something like 250 telecommunication companies, and basically we provide them a really easy way to get access onto the on-ramps.
Okay.
So for us, it's been great. And I think the more cloud that comes to South Africa, you know, the better. It's, again, huge freedom of choice. So now CIOs will be able to decide whether they want to keep things on-premise or off-premise.
Yeah.
And trying to access clouds that were located in Europe, the latency was just too great. So it's around about 180-millisecond round trip. And I think if you're doing processes overnight, then maybe it works. But if you've got a real-time, for instance, a bank, I guess, that's got a real-time application and interaction with a teller or someone that's trying to access stock or wherever it may be, the latency just won't work. You get a bit of a hanging effect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's all pretty much going to come here at some point in time.
Yeah. Okay. So net positive for Teraco.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Positive.
Yeah. I want to talk a bit about the cable breaks that happened in January. And there were two on the WAX cable along the West Coast and one on the SAT-3 cable. All kind of odd that they happened at around about the same time, but I think it was coincidental from what I can understand. If this had happened 5 years ago, 6 years ago, the impact on South Africa would have been huge. But while there was some slowdown in internet access, things continued pretty much as they were. Is that to a large degree thanks to local peering and exchanges like NAP Africa, which you host here inside Teraco?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think hopefully we played our part in helping to alleviate some of the issues. So as Teraco, we weren't impacted, but obviously a lot of our telcos were.
Yeah.
But what Teraco allows one to do is very quickly to switch to another provider. So if a cable system has gone down, because all the cable systems pretty much have got their nodes in Teraco.
Yeah.
And you know, we've got a great community of carriers, and wholesale providers will sell their services on to the carrier community. So at Teraco, literally by providing a cross connect, which we can do, you know, in an expedited fashion very quickly, straight away, you know, a carrier's got the possibility to move off one cable infrastructure onto another.
Yeah.
And in that way alleviate the issues.
So there was a lot of rerouting.
So there was a lot of scurrying happening in January, and we absolutely played our part. I mean, we realized there's an issue, and we expedited as best we could.
Yes. But also keeping a lot of the internet traffic inside the country through these exchanges, like NAP Africa, must have played a big role as well.
True. So I think the amount of content that resided offshore 5 or 6 years ago, as you were saying, was probably massive.
Yeah.
Today, a lot of the content is onshore. So if you look at all the big content providers, Microsoft, take someone like a Netflix or a Google, a lot of that content is stored here in South Africa, yeah. So one doesn't have to go and transit and get it from overseas.
Yeah.
So more and more content is being stored here. So
it's cached here.
Yeah. Mm. So that would have alleviated a massive amount of use as well.
Yeah. So a lot of it sitting inside this building right now, I'm sure. We know there are a number of other cable projects in the works. Google's Equiano is due to be here. I think it's either the end of this year or the end of next year. I think it's the end of next year.
Next year, yeah.
Yeah. Then I believe there's another new cable system called Metis coming. Is that what the Liquid Sea project was?
So that's Metis time? That sits on the West Coast.
That's a West Coast cable. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, East Coast.
Okay. Because yeah. There was a cable system called Liquid Sea, and I think Liquid is now backing Metis. So I take it Metis is the... is kind of the continuation, or Liquid Sea has become Metis. Is that correct?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Okay. So huge capacity coming down. With a lot of the content being hosted inside facilities like Teraco's data centers, do you think there's demand for all these cables?
Yeah, look, I think it's net positive all around. I mean, on top of the ones that you mentioned, so, it's difficult to sort the fact from the fiction because there's a lot of cable operators that aren't saying that they're going to do something. There's also talk of Simba, which is a Facebook initiative. Mm. I read that thing in the Wall Street Journal, and there they want to encircle the whole of Africa with a cable system. I think it's all being driven to basically lower the cost, so to bring the cost of capacity down, but also to have as many breakout points as possible.
Yeah.
So if, speaking to the guys on Equiano, which we know quite well, the intention there is on the West Coast to have as many breakout points into as many African countries as possible, basically to drive down the cost, A, and B, provide as much content as possible. And I think that plays into the theme that I spoke about earlier of all these big public cloud infrastructure players coming to South Africa. Because what that's going to allow is, fine, so for South Africa, everyone will be able to access the public cloud. But let's take countries further up, like Angola, Namibia, further up. They were pretty much picking up a lot of the content in Europe. And now with all these cable operators coming and making it really super cheap to access, then why not access it from South Africa? It's going to have a less of a latency, so it'll be easier to access. Plus, it's stored on continent. So I think the themes of public cloud infrastructure players coming to Africa and the cable systems, it's all moving in the right direction. And I think as far as, corporate South Africa and the end users concerned, guys that are accessing and the content, it's going to drive down price, make it more affordable, make it more easier, quicker to use, more resilient. So it's a great story all around.
Yeah. In terms of your expansion plans, Africa is a vast continent. Do you see expansion opportunities for Teraco on the rest of the continent, or do you see the company servicing the rest of Africa from here?
Yeah, we have looked at a few opportunities from time to time. There's a lot going on here. So at the moment, we strongly believe in kind of the cloud vision and with what we're building out. So we have a lot on our plate. Having said that, it's not like we're not going to look at something internationally. I think the one thing that we'd want to do a little bit differently, though, is potentially look to acquire something rather than do it organically. It's just, a lot of people say, fine, you're South African, therefore you're African, and therefore, you should be able to know how to roll out these businesses through the rest of Africa. But we've seen from a lot of corporate experience with other companies, it doesn't quite work out that way. So there are various smaller data center operators that have started kind of greenfields operations in Nigeria and Kenya. And, we're just going to see how these start to flourish and maybe at some point in time have a look at it. But to do something, with our own resources, it's probably not what we'd want to do. Rather look at acquisition part.
Acquisitions at some point.
Yeah.
But you've got your hands busy here. I can see you're expanding and expanding and expanding. This data center is remarkably large now.
Yeah, I mean, as you drive from the airport now, if you look towards Joburg and you look on your left-hand side, you can't miss it. It's a big facility.
Yeah.
And it's not just this facility. So, Bredell has been filling out. It's actually close to being sold out.
Wow.
So we're looking at a new site. And then Cape Town at some point in time, we're going to need to expand as well. So we've just done about a 2-megawatt expansion in Cape Town.
Okay.
But that's not going to be able to last forever. So we're looking at a Cape Town opportunity.
You've got a small data center in Durban too, don't you?
And we have a data center in Durban. And that has grown quite nicely. So we're quite lucky. The Durban site we can expand. So we can do 2 more expansions.
Yeah.
So that'll probably take care of Durban for the next.
Whereabouts in Durban is your data center?
So it's River Horse Valley, close to Umhlanga.
Close to Umhlanga, okay. Okay. And do you see any need to roll out facilities in smaller cities in South Africa, or do you think those 3 hubs are well placed to perhaps serve markets like PE, East London, etc.?
Look, we think the hubs are well placed. You know, if you start rabbiting down the hole of 5G and everything else, you know, there is an opportunity to build smaller data centers. I just think it's a different business opportunity to what we're doing, which is co-locating at scale.
Yeah.
That's probably an opportunity for another player.
Mm. 3 years from now, before we wrap up, where do you see Teraco? How big will this business be? How much data center space are you going to be operating? And do you see yourself expanding into adjacent areas?
Yeah, I mean, where we thought the business was going to be 3 years ago and 6 years ago and 9 years ago, it's just surpassed our expectations. So it's definitely a lot bigger than we thought. I mean, the building that we're in now, Joburg West, we built it on the basis of, because doing, you know, it's like doing alterations at your home. It's just terrible. You don't want to live through it. So we thought, let's build as big as our imagination can go and as much as we can afford. And we thought that the building would like take 10 years to fill, and took 3.5 years, and hence we're building the one across the road, the campus, and we've gone even bigger now, and it's not in a reckless way. I mean, we see the demand coming, so we do it in a phased approach. It's just too much capital that goes into it to be able to build a huge thing. So I think 3 years down the line, we're probably going to be expanding the facility here, and we'll have our Bradel and Cape Town sites up. And I don't know, you know, maybe something in Africa. I don't know. We just play it as it comes. We simple folks. We just build data centers.
But as you were saying before we started recording this afternoon, that you've got a nice problem. You're one of the few companies that's actually growing aggressively and fast in an economy that's not doing so well at all.
Well, I go back to the feel good story of South Africa, because it's not just a Teraco story. We've got so much opportunity. Mm-hmm. From a data center perspective, and our location, and our ability to build great infrastructure, and I'm pretty sure the power situation is going to get resolved. And then if you look at all these big public cloud infrastructure platforms, they are going to want to deploy, because never mind South Africa. So South Africa is a massive economy on its own, 30th or 35th biggest economy in the world. So there's huge corporates here that obviously the cloud players would want to target. But look at the rest of sub-Saharan Africa. So now you start aggregating all these countries. It's a massive target market for any cloud player. So, you know, over the next 3 or 4 years, I'm pretty sure we're going to see, you know, a huge rollout from various cloud platform players.
Jan Nisdu is CEO of Teraco. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to Tech Central today.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time.